study tonight on prayer is the place of prayer. Luke 18:1 is our main text here, and it says there, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." You know, from the beginning of time, men have prayed. In Genesis 4:26, it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." Notice then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So in all types of places, at all times, and in every conceivable situation, men have prayed. Christians and heathens alike have spent massive amounts of time in prayer. And even today, as events happen around the world, oftentimes you hear a call for prayer. Yet few people have made prayer their supreme priority. Now, those who have stand out as bright lights in a dark world. Many have chosen to pray when it's convenient or when they're undergoing a time of stress and trial. Again, during disasters like a hurricane or some kind of airline crash or something, or even in a school shooting, tragic school shooting, someone dies and people all of a sudden get real religious and they begin to pray. But it's clear from this verse that Jesus wants prayer to hold a preeminent place in our lives. So we're going to consider the place of prayer. We're going to see that God expects us to be in constant contact with Him. Now, before we begin to talk about prayer and how it ought to, the place it ought to hold in our lives, we need to understand exactly what prayer is. Knowing what prayer is will help us to see that it deserves an elevated place in our lives. What is prayer? Well, prayer is an invitation to God. It's an invitation to God. Prayer is not coercion. It's not coaxing. It's simply inviting God to take over. It is me admitting my weakness and His power. I think of Jairus in Mark 5:22. It says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." Again, notice the invitation then. He says, "I pray thee come. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." So prayer is an invitation to God. Secondly, prayer is work. You know, true praying is not for the lazy. True prayer may require you to get up early or stay up late. And a prayer is never really finished until it has grown some feet and gone to work. Sometimes we say, "Well, I'll pray about that." And then we don't do anything about it. And sometimes there are times when we don't need to pray. We just need to get busy. So prayer is work. Thirdly, prayer is a battle. Now, when you go to prayer, you're going to battle with the prince of the power of the air. Satan does not fear nor withstand our prayerlessness. If you don't pray, Satan is not affected. But he will bitterly oppose any prayer efforts, because prayer is our greatest weapon in the battle between good and evil. And then fourthly, prayer is power. Moses, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, Elijah, Paul, and Silas. You can think of any more recent names. Jonathan Edwards, George Mueller. It seemed like George Mueller really had answers to his prayer. Because prayer is power. It's the greatest power we have upon this earth. And then prayer is a developer. Prayer is that essential ingredient that completes the character. It is impossible to grow in grace without the help and the aid of prayer. Prayer is the Christian's wardrobe. You know, while dwelling in this cold world, the praying Christian need never fear becoming cold. The praying church will never become a museum for frozen saints. Because prayer is the Christian's wardrobe. And then prayer is the fragrance in Christian activity. You know, there's a difference between artificial flowers and real flowers. Did you know that? I always often kid Pat for the flowers that she puts in here sometimes. I say, they need some water. Let's see. There's no water in there. Well, they're artificial. They look nice. They look real. They have no fragrance. But the true prayer encloses, envelops all that we do in the breath of heaven. And then number eight, prayer is communication with heaven. There is an unbroken line between earth and Father. When we pray, we're brought into His presence. We're in touch with God Himself. I don't know if you tried this when you were a child. Take two tin cans and run a string between them. That line that you tried to talk to somebody. Well, we have an unbroken line between earth and God when we pray. So with this in mind, let's look together at the place of prayer. First of all, prayer must be a priority. And again, this is a theme that's repeated throughout the Bible. We see it here in our text. Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And so we're to remain in a constant spirit of prayer. Now, we also know that as you study God's Word, many in the Bible had placed a high priority on prayer. For instance, Job 1 and verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and notice what he did, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And then notice what he says. Thus Job did continually. Continually. And some of us who have children, and many of us do here tonight, one day, John may have some too. But if we know that we pray for our children every day. If you love them, you do. You do it continually. Job prayed continually. Then there was Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 7 and 8. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. That's in chapter 12, but in chapter 13, he goes on to say in verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Again in chapter 13, verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came to dwell in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Abraham called on the Lord. He prayed. We find it Moses in Exodus 17:11. Came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. That was prayer at work, even as they were trying to defeat the enemy, Amalek. In chapter 33 of Exodus, in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. There was communication between Moses and God. David was a man of prayer. The Psalms are filled with many references to David's prayer life. But if you go back to 2 Samuel 12, verse 22, it says, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I think prayer, we could go through the Psalms and find many instances where David prayed, but it was the secret of his fearlessness. As a young man, when he was a shepherd, I'm sure he spent time in prayer. Enabled him to face the lion and the bear and eventually Goliath. Then there's Elijah. 1 Kings 17, verse 1 says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, he couldn't say that unless he was in contact with God. In 1 Kings 18, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. He called out to the Lord. He said, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You see, again, Elijah was in contact with God, and he prayed and he asked God to answer his prayer. Of course, there's Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. It was his habit. It was his continual praying. And then, of course, we come to the Lord Jesus himself. And you have many instances where you find the Lord praying in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke. Jesus relied on prayer. Even as the Son of God, he had to pray. Jesus, I think, probably, I don't know that he ever takes anything for granted, but I think he just expects his people to pray. Matthew 6:5 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So the question is prayer a priority in my life, in your life? It should be, for it's our lifeline to the Father. In Matthew 11, 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus relied upon prayer as he was here on earth. So I believe what we see here in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament and the times of other New Testament characters, prayer was a priority. It needs to be a priority in our lives. But then secondly, prayer must be a prerequisite. We shouldn't do anything in the area of life without first taking the time to saturate the matter in prayer. Many times we do things, we make decisions. We say, well, I think I need to do this, I need to go here, I need to go there, and yet we haven't prayed about it. But it was a prerequisite in the Scriptures. You notice Jesus prayed before feeding the 5,000. John 6:11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. He prayed and thanked God for provisions of food. So he was feeding 5,000. We're just feeding ourselves sometimes. But we need to give thanks. He prayed before raising Lazarus from the dead. In John 11, and there in John 11:41, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Again, Jesus praying and giving thanks. Jesus, before his trial and crucifixion, we find in Luke 22:41, says, and he was withdrawn from them that had a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And then he prayed before becoming sin on the cross for us. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You know, especially in the realm of spiritual activity, prayer is vital. When we attempt to perform spiritual work in the power of the flesh, we're doomed to failure or self-glorification. And yet, if we carry out God's work in the power of prayer, we'll certainly succeed, and he will get all the glory. I think of some of the great men like D.L. Moody. He had his prayers, those who prayed for him as he preached. Charles Spurgeon was credited the blessing of the Lord upon his ministry to those members of his church who prayed for him. And I think I've read the story of those who gathered in a kind of a room under the platform where he was preaching, and they were praying while he was preaching to thousands of people. The preparation gained in the closet of secret prayer is far more valuable than that even gained in the study. So prayer must be a priority. Prayer must be a prerequisite And thirdly, prayer must be practiced. You know, there are a lot of books written about prayer. Some are good and some are so-so. Some say, well, you've got to do it this way. And they list out a formula. Some list out a list of rules or some promises. But you know, to make prayer truly effective, we need to practice prayer. We must get ourselves busy in the business of prayer. There's too many needs and too little time. We are not in the custom of praying. We may need to pray desperately and we may not know how. But weak praying begets weak living. So we must be diligent in our praying if we want to be effective for the Lord. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life? We won't ask for any answers tonight. Where would you put your prayer life? 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. I think it's something to think about. What place does prayer hold in your life? And we need to agree together that we will make praying our top priority. I don't know how many of you operate on a to-do list. Prayer needs to be at the top. Make sure it's an important place in your life. You can see we've not been talking about where you pray. When we say the place of prayer, I'm not talking about where you pray. You can pray in your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen. You can pray in your backyard. You can pray in the car on the way to wherever you're going. It's not where you pray, it's when you pray. What priority does it have in your lives? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the great examples of the prayer life of many of the people in the Bible that achieved great things because they had a communication line with you. And then, even in more recent days, as we think about some of the great heroes of the faith, the great preachers and those who've won many souls to Christ and had great churches, not because they had thousands of people, but because they had good results, and you used their messages to honor and glorify your name and to bring people to salvation and to spiritual growth. And they owed a great deal of it to not only their own prayer life, but those who prayed for them. Thank you, Lord, for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're to be Christ-like, then we need to put prayer as a priority in our lives too. And may we do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.